Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Cynthia Rose. I'm so glad to be here with you. And if you're listening afterwards on playback or iTunes, then thank you for joining me. I'd just like to mention that if you want to connect with me, there is a Cynthia Rose Medium group on Facebook, as well as Cynthia Rose Medium page, as well as a new YouTube page, Cynthia Rose Medium. I would love it if you'd give me a like or subscription where it is that you get to listen to this. Love to hear from you. And the call-in number is 202-570-7057. And today, we're talking about lifting your soul, your presence, your life. In this world, I think it's important to keep ourselves in a position where we can still act and not be pulled down by everything that's going on. That being said, I'm not a Pollyanna person. I think that, yeah, we need to see what's going on, sometimes act and speak out. We still need to protect our own. Sorry about that. Still need to protect our own presence, because it matters much more than we realize it does. I don't think most of us are raised to realize that our energetic field matters in terms of the world. And I don't think we even learn in school about the collective energetic field. And there's been a lot of research done on this, which is now becoming more commonly accepted, and some people haven't even heard of it yet, so we're all at different places. But I do hope that at the end of this hour that I will have inspired you to work on keeping your vibration lifted in a place where you can feel effective and enjoy your life. And today, as we speak, the moon is in Cancer. The moon travels around all the signs every 28 and a half days. And it was in Cancer yesterday, and it's a great time when the moon's in Cancer to get things done around the home. We've got a Mercury retrograde, so good time to be, in general, right now is a good time to be taking stock of maybe clearing things out, what we want to let go of, maybe making plans for what we want to do next. And moon in Cancer, you know, I love to stay home when the moon's in Cancer. I can't say I always do, but it's something about being at home when the moon in Cancer is lovely, although I don't always have that opportunity. But good to get the laundry done and other things done before the weekend, because we've got a Leo moon Friday and Saturday, which means it's a good time to get out and socialize. If we don't get out and socialize, excuse me, then maybe it's a good idea to do something a little different, a little more exciting. Bring some pizzazz into your weekend and you'll enjoy it more. You know, that can be something like see a movie, or if you watch movies at home, watch a different kind of movie. Something with pizzazz. Do something different to lift yourself up. And I find it really interesting that there are certain weekends that more is going on than others. Have you noticed that? I mean, I'll find that we'll get an invite for 3 or 4 different events, and they'll all be on the same weekend. It's as if collectively we people all over the place will say, yeah, this is the weekend to do this. I've seen it go on for years, and I find that it's not surprising, but it's interesting. So I wonder what will be happening, what else will be happening this weekend in this Leo moon. That's energy that we're talking about. You know, the planets don't rule our lives, but they're outer amplifications of what's going on inside. And that's, I see planets as amplifications of energy. And we may still experience common experiences, but we have free will on this. So right now, the next couple of days, there's an amplification of energy around the home and or feeling at home where we are. And what you do with it is up to you. And then this weekend, there's an amplification of the sunny Leo energy. Get out, socialize, do something. So, you know, it's kind of up to you what you do with it. And this weekend, Leo amplifies that sunny energy. So maybe that's why some weekends are like magnets for social times and others are not. And with Venus having moved into Libra, it is a really good time to go and enjoy the arts or immerse yourself in something artistic for part of the weekend. That could even mean that we feel the urge to redo something. It could be as simple as, let's put a new bedspread on the bed. I don't know, does anybody say bedspread anymore? I think I'm dating myself. Comforter, duvet. So maybe it's like sprucing up some part of the home, because Libra amplifies love and beauty for us to heed the call and enjoy this part of life. And I don't want to say like not superficial beauty, but beauty, the appreciation of true beauty. You could pass some flowers and really take in the beauty of nature's creation with that. Now, I could say that the Venus in Libra is good for romance, but I won't. Because if we idealize or have a picture of what romance should look like, well, it may not be enjoyable for us. You know, it brings me the idea that when we see life through expectations of how something should be, then we're not really completely in the moment, enjoying that moment, because we've already got a filter on our lens saying it really should be like this in order for it to be beautiful or romantic. So, and we really lose the ability to bring part of our presence to what is actually going on. And, you know, the movies are great at telling us what romance should look like, or even feel like, or even what we should do. You could have a date where all you do is cook a simple dinner, and it could be the most romantic evening of your life. With no fanfare, you could stop, get something at a food truck, and it could be romantic and meaningful. But if we expect it to be romantic, that almost sets us up for what it should be like, instead of just enjoying being together, harmonious. And, you know, well, that's Venus in Libra can mean idealizing what romance is, or it can mean really, truly taking in the beauty of what really is. It's all energy. So if you look at the definition of romance, you see a lot of definitions. They describe a novel, a movie, prose, and this definition. A baseless, made-up story, usually full of exaggeration or fanciful invention. Yep, that is actually a definition out of a dictionary. So I'm not saying anything you don't know, just bringing a different perspective here. You might also see this definition in a dictionary. A romantic spirit, sentiment, emotion, or desire. In other words, you can be in a romantic mood or be a romantic spirit. I sometimes feel when I connect with people on the other side that they have a sense of a romantic spirit they show me. And it's hard to put that one into words, I have to tell you, because sometimes it doesn't just mean the idea that we're romantic in terms of what we picture. Sometimes it means more than that to me. It usually does. So could it be that this feeling of wanting romance is a calling of our souls to connect with us in some magical way? Now, I do believe that our purpose here is to love and be loved. And how many of us have struggled, will struggle with that. And sometimes that struggle may be our pictures we hold of what romance is or what love is. You know, if you've ever heard that we must love ourselves first before we can truly love another, I think that's true, but let's unravel that a bit. And to be loved freely and unconditionally, I mean, isn't that what we all want deep down? You know, even if we're not conscious of it, I think that's something that our souls are reaching for. How can we love another freely if we don't love ourselves freely? And if we don't even understand what that means, you know, and is this an arrival, a process, or a destination? I don't know. What do you think? I'm curious. But I do think, and I'm a very romantic sort, and I'm sentimental as well. And I, like many of you, I've loved romance stories where love all works out. It's great to enjoy a good story. I think that young minds are easily influenced as to what love or romance is or is not, right? And sometimes young minds become older minds and we forget that we've got that in there, somewhere in the back of our mind. It's like an inner programming engineered inside of us. And it's possible that what we call romantic is a picture in our minds that we've probably viewed from somewhere, and we may think it's our own. However, if we're always deeply dissatisfied with romance or love, we may be hanging on to something that's not ours to begin with, you know, or not. Maybe that doesn't happen in our love life, but maybe it happens in another area of love, because there's many areas that love is or is not in our life, in the way we see our lives. Something to ponder. You know, could it be that we're really craving is a deep sense of connection? So maybe maybe everything is good in our relationship, but we just feel like something's lacking. Could it be that everything's going well, and something is missing. Something is calling to us, our soul speaking to us. But maybe we don't even have a name for it. Maybe we are aware that the way we have been picturing our world needs a depth or a deepening. And I think that's really our souls calling to us, speaking to us, whispering to us. And I think it starts as a whisper, and then it gets a little louder, and maybe there's something in our world that may just not feel right. And next thing you know, there might be a situation in our life that's hard to deal with. I've seen that often in terms of where somebody's working, or you can have a perfectly good relationship that just doesn't seem like it's working, because our souls are calling us to listen to our own God selves, inner selves, higher selves. You know, we could be feeling isolated ourselves and be all around people. Or just, there could be just a hunger. And this calling could be a connection with our divine soul. You know, we can also find a deep connection through another, which is also a pathway to a divine connection. But anybody that has been together for many, many years will tell you that there's a deepening of their love, a growing of their love, and then they still have to deal with that need for a divine connection in some way. I don't know if everyone uses that language, but when we come back, let's follow this up. I'm here if you want to talk, and go grab a glass of water, and we'll talk to you in a minute.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. So, talking about the idea of romantic notions. I think that we may be drawn to romantic notions because they may highlight the need for inspiration in some magical way. And of course, magical notions with synchronicity, well, that's just a great soup. But, you know, romantic notions are good memories too. I mean, they still point us in that direction. I feel that in my life, having found a loving partner is beautiful, but may not be the same reason that you desire one. But, you know, I'm thinking about romantic notions right now, and I'm thinking of one time we were just dating. I was one side of a jewelry store, and I was perusing the jewelry, and this beautiful ring caught my eye. And my boyfriend at the time was on the other side of the store. It wasn't that big store, so he held up the actual setting of the ring I was looking at, and he called out to me, "Hey, is this your style? Is this you?" Well, I could definitely say it felt romantic and it's a lovely memory, but that setting became part of the ring he bought to propose to me. "Hey, is this you?" It's a profound way of describing that moment, because, you know, on the surface, he was pointing to a ring and saying, "Hey, is that your style? Is that what you like?" You know, but he was also showing me that he saw me, my soul, that he was listening, that somehow he looked at that and said, "That seems like you." Not that me is in a ring, but there was like a connection there and a feeling that he knew me in a way beyond words. And I wasn't particularly vocal about liking this or liking that because, well, physical things are great and all, but it just wasn't something I was particular about. You know, in fact, I would say that I've learned to appreciate beauty more since then. So there's a greater, as my spirituality has grown, my appreciation of beauty has grown. And there was a time when anything physical or, you know, material things to me, I just didn't see the point. And that was just... Not that I feel particularly materialistic now, but I've always been more of a practical girl. Is it useful? What's the point if it's not useful? But I've really learned how beauty is also a connection to the divine. Appreciating the beauty of a flower is a connection to the divine. I wasn't the kind to maybe have hanging baskets out, but now I have some hanging baskets of flowers. I used to grow vegetables. And I look at those flowers and I think, each one unique, each one beautiful. And it's not that I didn't think that before, but there's just been a deepening. But back to this idea of romance. And I do think that, you know, romance is a tool. Yeah. You know, romance your soul. Dance with your soul. Take time to connect with the magic of your inner world. Well, that is magical. That's what we're really looking for. You know, because in the end, the idea of what's romantic is in our minds, or the magical feeling of this is meaningful is with us always. And that can be happening. You could be having a romance feeling with a flower. You could have a romance feeling with something that you're making creatively, just the idea of making it. You could feel romantic in your cooking. It's an energy that we bring to what we do. And I think it's a mix of magic or mystical and love and awareness. And I think all those together is maybe a new definition for romance as I see it. And, you know, if that can be doing mundane things, and then it brings in this added element of presence. Ah, and as you feel calmer doing something, then perhaps we start listening to our inner self more. We start being aware of other things, other presence in the world. To me, that is romantic. So it's a different meaning of the world, but it is soul connection. And I think that, you know, loving yourself first, well, romance yourself first, and, you know, you'll find you're identifying your personal brand of romance, what that means for you. Forget what anybody else has called the word romantic. And I just think that that going into feeling romantic for a day, we might even say, oh, I think it's romantic to go and sit on a patio somewhere. And then you could go sit there and go, well, you know, it's not so romantic to me. I had a notion in my mind. Well, then we've cleared that out, haven't we? And then we can say, well, something simple as going for a walk is romantic to me. And I think that this truly strengthens our core self. It's so important. You know, also we could call it our innate knowingness, our God self, our higher self. But if we don't listen to it, then how can we identify what's truly ours? You know, energy work, spiritual healing, at a basic level, energy, so awareness of it is great. And we can work with healing energy at a very conscious level, or to move or shift perspectives, old stuff, limiting beliefs. You know, you can own your own ability to heal yourself and to move in a direction that your soul is calling you. You know, in my own experience, in my healing journey, wow, this is priceless. You know, to think that I fretted over the cost to take all those courses when I took courses and study, and I thought I could be doing other things. I mean, before I went into it, I was thinking, you know, am I going to be just like, is this going to be idly wasting my time? Why would I want to be sitting and doing this? I really had resistance to it. And boy, it just changed my life. It's one of the best things I ever did. So, and I have to mention, because it's coming up, is I'm excited to be offering, yes, I'd be teaching an in-person class in Denver, Colorado, but I'm going to be offering this online as well. It's an energy work course calling Soul Healing, and it's a practical way to practice in your home and develop your own practice. And there will also be a Healing Souls course offered. There's a little break between so that you can learn to give healing to others. If you are thinking of coming to the Denver one, our space is limited. And I don't want to have too many online because I want to make sure I can manage anybody's questions, and it's an experiential class. But I encourage you to empower yourself and learn about healing, working with energy, whether you take it with me, whether you take it with someone else. Learning about energy is powerful. And really, how far do you want to take it? How much do you want to go into that? It's up to you. If your soul is whispering, maybe it's time to listen. You know, my soul was just whispering, but, you know, I was walking the path, the road of healing, looking for healing. I didn't know how I was going to get out of the medical issues that I had. It seemed like there were no answers. And I thought, well, you know, it may not necessarily, maybe it won't cure me, because I hear, well, people get cured. And I was skeptical. I thought, well, maybe it won't cure me. If I go in expecting that, I might set myself up. But I thought maybe it'll help me cope with my life better. So I decided to just be open. I'm really glad I looked at it that way. And it really made a difference. So, and you know, for me in my healing journey, I mean, I used Eastern, Western traditional, non-traditional methods. And I view medical professionals as supportive tools to help. And, you know, I had one doctor say to me, actually more than one, but one I really respected said to me that, you know, you have done well and moved yourself into a new place in spite of us doctors, because we haven't done much for you. And, you know, that's interesting, because that was me getting closer to the healing. And he said, you've really taken charge of your own health and your own healing. Now, I probably didn't know what that was when I was first going to doctors and trying to find answers. It's an experience. It's not something we can say intellectually we do. It's a knowing. And, you know, sometimes the most simple tools are taken for granted. We can be looking for the latest, greatest, next best thing, somebody to sell it to us, and really forget other people selling it to you. Listen inward, listen to your own soul speaking. You know, it's like the latest, greatest restaurant. It can be entertaining and fun, enjoyable and tasty, and maybe even good for us. So isn't often the case, but it can seem so much more exciting than good, basic, honest food. You know, if we're living to eat, instead of the idea of eating to live, to nurture ourselves, to honor our body, then we can get pulled. And if that does happen, then that's fine. I am not saying not to enjoy a good meal. I love to do that. But if it's something that we're constantly needing to put something in our mouths in order to fill our life, then maybe it's a way of going unconscious to not hear what's missing. And maybe there's a hopelessness there we need to acknowledge so we can empower it, so we can change it. It's really simple. Good, honest food in our bodies, nurturing our body. Why wouldn't we want to do that? You know? But it's a simple tool, but it can easily be forgotten. There's fast food everywhere, appealing to our taste buds instead of what our bodies need. You know, and homegrown food is actually better for us, because research has shown that it contains more vitamins and minerals. I can't remember where I read that study. That's in my mind, and I remember reading about this. And I used to think, wow, these homegrown tomatoes, they taste better. Maybe it's because we picked them at the perfect ripe spot. Maybe it's because they truck in veggies and they pick them early, but I don't know. I bought stuff at farmers markets that was picked that morning that didn't taste that way. And certainly a lot of times maybe tastes better than something else I bought. But, you know, I don't know. Who knows? I just know that energetically as well, watching something grow from a seed to a plant to a piece of fruit, or, you know, I had cucumber and tomatoes and peppers for lunch right out of the garden. It was fantastic. But who knows? Maybe the more vitamins and minerals make a difference. Here's another one. How often do you thank your body? Yeah, thank your body and love it. You know, if you're putting healthy food into you, but complaining maybe about the food or about your body and grumbling, that's energy too. You know, if we're doing everything like, okay, well, we're eating healthy and we're drinking our water, but we're constantly thinking how tired we are, it could be true that we're tired, but it also could be true that we're we've got a program about being tired, and maybe there was a time in the past when we pushed and we were tired. Do you know that program could still be running even though we've changed our ways? So we have to be aware that it's what we put into our thoughts, what we put into our bodies, what we're putting in our minds and our bodies and our spirits. You know, and does your body need more rest than you allow it? Or are you not lovingly supporting your body and all it needs and putting negative programs? They all mix together, as I've said before. Body, mind, spirit are all one. We separate them to talk about them. So there is an ability for change here, for bringing a new thought. And I do believe that we can call out to our higher selves, guides, if you will, and say, help me to make this shift. And you might find yourself then, if you're trying to wake up earlier, you may, or get to sleep early, you may find it happening, and then you might find yourself bucking it. Because I think anytime we become aware of the need for change, it is good to be aware of the resistance that the patterning holds to whatever that change is. Because the resistance, it's there. You can be so excited about moving into a new place. Maybe you're getting your own place and feel some resistance about going there just because it's change. Because the body sees change as like a death. Well, it's not going to be what I've known. It won't be the same coffee shop that I go to. It won't be the same supermarket. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do about this? Change is change is change. So we're going to have our last break. Thank you for staying with me, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back for the last section, talking about some simple things that we can do to bring more peace. You know, when your body's at peace, it's a lot easier to be at peace. And sometimes then we have to deal with things that are going on in the mind. And I think diet is one way that this plays out, is that we often attach meaning to food, or food can have certain meanings for us, and maybe we comfort ourselves with certain things, and then we start looking after the body, and the body starts to feel better, but the mind is needing that comfort, maybe our taste buds craving it. Maybe that's something for us to then be aware of, that what we're eating can actually affect our mood. And I know this is true for me. And I think years ago, I had this conversation with a, I think I was teaching a lunch hour fitness class. And I was talking to the nutritionist. That's what she was. She was a dietitian. And I said to her, you know, I used to eat junky food and it didn't seem to bother me. But now that I'm eating healthy and I eat junky food, it seems like I can't tolerate it. And I was kind of wondering, why my perspective? Is it just that I think it's not healthy, or is it that, you know, I was confused about why does it bother me more now? Maybe I'm just telling myself that. But I didn't really believe it, what I was saying. So, you know, she brought up a very good point. She said, maybe your awareness has changed. Your awareness of what you put in your body, your awareness of how it affects you. And as we get healthier, we sometimes become more aware of what we're doing to our bodies. And wow, that for me was monumental. I thought, let me pay attention to that and see that. And I was always the kind of person that was like, well, if I think it's good and I love it and I take it in, it'll be fine. Because I always thought that I could override anything like that. I know, silly. But I do believe in the power of the mind. So I thought, well, if I go for something and I bless it and I eat it, then it's fine. But you know, it wasn't true for me. I will really feel, as I'm healthier now, I will really feel the difference of eating something junky and even less of it. And I don't think it's because I think that it's unhealthy, because I just really have had the experience of having something and thinking, well, this little bit doesn't really, it's fine. And it wasn't fine. So I think there's levels of awareness with our body that as we become healthier with our mind, with our body, with our spirit, we crave more. And we are on that upward spiral, lifting our presence, lifting our soul. The other thing I wanted to mention today, I just have a couple of key things I want to make sure I cover. And, you know, being open to the impossible and the unbelievable, that is really important in today's world, I think. Because it's so easy to get pulled down by the inevitable or the terrible things. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to believe everything, and you know, but cultivating a pondering possibility, keeping an open mind, that's important, because that is the channel through which all miracles and changes come. You know, if some of yesterday's inventors didn't keep this attitude, well, there's a lot of tools we wouldn't have. So being open to the possibility of things. I think years ago I heard something about it's good to have an open mind, and I made a decision that I wanted to have an open mind. Astrologically, I think I have a certain amount of fixed planets, fixed things, certain ways. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have to cultivate more of an openness. And yes, I did. I used those energies appropriately. You know, speaking of inventions, you know, my father died, a friend of his and mine asked for some contraption that my dad had, and I didn't know what it was. It was something on the floor in his shop, and he said, well, you know, years ago, and I don't really remember how many years ago, but it could have been the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, I don't remember. Not sure. But he said, your dad wanted a machine that would cut through thick steel. And there wasn't one that existed, right? So he built this, and that is what it does. It cuts through thick steel. And he said, nowadays you can buy them, but he actually built one before they existed. know, my dad was an inventor and he invented other things. He just never sold them because sales was not his thing. Invention and artistry was. But you know, that was, if he had sat down and said, well, there isn't anything that can cut through steel, so never mind. I guess I can't do any of these projects I wanted to do. I know he taught somebody how to make a trampoline out of the goodness of his heart, and I know they did very well. I know that he built a lot of things with iron, and so he needed this tool, and he was open to the possibility of it being there. And I mean, don't get me wrong, he was fixed and stubborn in many ways, but when he decided to have a possibility in his mind, there it was. You know, it brings me to the fact that many things are possible, even if we don't have the proof yet. You know, back when I was injured, I had difficulty using one side of my body, and it was my dominant side at the time. I had to train the other side of my body to function better because it was too painful to use one side. So diligently I worked at it every day, and I became better at using both sides of my body. And I can remember saying, well, you know, one hand writes like a 9-year-old now, and the other hand, which was my dominant hand at the time, was better at it, but it was something I couldn't even form a vowel in the beginning, but I just kept working at it. And, you know, years later, I was having an assessment done. It's like an educational assessment. And the lady that was testing me, she mentioned that she had a specialty in different sides of the brain or both sides of the brain. And that was her, she had a PhD in that. And I asked her about the possibility of elasticity in the adult brain. Now, it was believed at the time the children's brains had elasticity, thus you could train or retrain the brain. But the current belief at that time was that the adult brain had no elasticity. So I shared my story with her and I said, you know, I wonder if maybe elasticity does exist in the adult brain. And she said it's entirely possible, and it could also be that you were actually more of a split brain and that you possibly just activated something that was already there. But you know, it's proven now there is elasticity in the adult brain. So we wonder how many people were told, oh, nothing you can do, you've had a stroke, you can't retrain, that's the way your brain's stuck in that. Right? And then there are those that said, hey, I'm not going to give up on this. I'm going to move past. So just because someone has said, you can't do anything about this, that's their story. That's their belief system. And that's their experiences. And that's what they know. That doesn't have to be what you know. You can find a way that works if you so wish. But, you know, why do we struggle to accept that we can change our lives? Because we're only seeing the here, the now, and the past, and not the possibilities. We're believing that our past is the future. You know, just taking time to contemplate possibilities, it's a powerful tool to raise our vibration and make changes in our life. So I encourage you to think, what if this week? What if, finish that sentence, do that 10 times a day, let yourself dream a little, and maybe you'll find yourself onto the next thought and onto the next thought. You know, history is full of stories like this, you know, and when you're feeling like things are a struggle, you need to keep yourself going. Staying inspired is so very important. Stay inspired. Very powerful when you're having such a hard time. And that's something that I would say I did for a long time when I didn't have a cure and I didn't know where I was going. I would keep things that inspired me to lift my vibration. So I'm not just talking about from the point of view of the energy classes that I teach, which teaches people a tool to raise their vibration. And you can learn that. And that you also have to learn to maintain it as well. And that's where your thought patterns can come in. You know, if you're from Canada, and you may not be, but I am, so that's where I came from. You'll know this man if you're from Canada, but if you're not, you may have never heard of him. But his story's worth mentioning. He inspired so many. His name was Terry Fox. He was a young man, and he would do something called the Marathon of Hope. And he decided to run. And after 18 months running, he was running across Canada. He prepared for about 3,000 miles. He started his run in St. John's, Newfoundland on April 12th, 1980. And it was hard for him to, you know, get media or anything like that, but he just kept running. He was like, I'm going to run across Canada. He ran approximately 26 miles a day through what we call Canada's Atlantic provinces, like Maine would be one of your Atlantic provinces. So from that end, he, through Quebec, Ontario, he ran through snow, and I mean, it's amazing. But on September 1st, after 143 days, he went 3,339 miles. He was forced to stop running outside of Thunder Bay because the cancer he had appeared in his lungs. Now, what you don't know about Terry Fox is that he was running with only one leg. And so this was a huge thing for him to do. And it really inspired a lot of people, and the whole nation, all of Canada, was stunned, saddened. Terry passed away in 1981 at 22 years old. And interestingly enough, 22 is a master number, a teacher of sorts. And that legacy he created is powerful. You know, this hero passed from this world to the spirit world. But over $750 million has been raised for cancer research in Terry's name. There's an annual Terry Fox Run held across Canada and around the world. And we used to have the students in school run every year. It became an annual thing. I don't know if it's still going on, but I mean, last I heard it was. You can always read more about him at terryfox.org if you're interested. But I just wanted to share something. It was really inspiring. Now, he only had one leg. He didn't know really if he was going to make it. But it was the act of doing and not giving up that so mattered to him. But look what he left behind. You know, he did so, so very much. You know, another thing I'd like to offer to you is stay gratefully present in every moment. You know, just think, what am I taking for granted that you could remind yourself you had? That's simple tools that we often forget. And, you know, sometimes we want to create something in our life, but maybe we haven't learned how to work energetically to create it or to get out of our own way. So you want to maybe choose options that help you get out of your own way, learn something new. And I say energy work is very powerful, and our minds can accept or reject it. So we really have to make commitment. Do you know, I went through my energy work classes when I was in severe pain, and I was open to the possibility of healing, even though the doctors said, well, you're going to be this way forever. And a doctor specialist I really liked even encouraged me to do so and wanted to hear about it. So I thought, oh, okay, I was quite skeptical. And I remember going through classes with one of the students I knew. I think it was the third year. She actually said she envied me. And I looked at her and thought, why? Why envy me? She said, well, your awareness of your energy field is so strong. You feel it every time it shifts because of your pain. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't want this pain day in and day out. How could you say that? You know, sadly, she thought I had something over her. And the fact is, no one does. Anything I can do, you can do better. Did Mr. Rogers say that? Who said that? I'd love it if you leave a comment and let me know, because at the moment I don't remember, but anything I can do, you can do too. So have a good week. Breathe, stay grateful. Look at some new options or possibilities that you can do. If you're like, oh, I'd like to do some yoga or I'd like stretch, but I can't. Well, you know, there's a lady named Peggy Cappy who does yoga for the rest of us. I think it's a PBS DVD. And she had 85 and 90-year-old people doing yoga. So I like yoga because you're learning to listen to your body. It only works if you're uniting the body, mind, spirit, like listening. And I bought that CD and it was helpful for me way back when. So have a great week. I hope some of this has been helpful. Join me on Facebook or my YouTube channel, Cynthia Rose Medium. And I look forward to talking to you next week. Until then, be kind. Bye-bye.